this is the question that was asked, basically. You know, we try, this is like the classic question. We try to change each and every year, and we return to Yom Kippur, and what do we say? We feel that we failed. So, like, what's the, like, we have this challenge of making our resolution stick. How do you deal with your failure of imperfect spiritual lives? So I've sort of, like, gone through some of my notes from previous years or different things that I've sort of learned a little bit and sort of summarized into six strategies for meaningful, lasting tshuva. And again, you know, maybe a few of them might resonate with you, but I have sort of six goals, and I'd love to hear your feedback after I say that. Again, I'm aware that we're all human beings, and we come back every year thinking we made the same mistake again, but I think these six strategies are realistic, I think. So and some of these you've probably heard before, but hopefully maybe some of them you haven't, and I'll just hopefully put a nice spin on them. So the first strategy is what people are familiar with, is the growth mindset, right? When Franz Rosenzweig, he was the Jewish philosopher, he was not religious, he was a German philosopher in the beginning of the 20th century, when he was asked by someone, but he was connected to religion a lot, and he was asked, do you wear tefillin? So what did he say? Not yet. Right, he was the originator of this growth mindset, you know, attitude. Right, not yet is so different than no. That's the whole study conducted by Carol Dweck, a Stanford University psychologist, where she distinguishes between two different types of students who don't know an answer to the problem. Some of the students reacted in a shockingly positive way. They said things like, I love a challenge. They understood that their abilities could be developed. They had a growth mindset, but other students basically thought it was tragic that they didn't know the answer because they had a more fixed mind perspective. The first group believed in the power of not yet, and the second group was gripped in the tyranny of now. And scientists, in fact, measured the electrical activity from the brain as students confronted an error. They found that there was hardly any brain activity with the fixed mind students because they run from error. They don't engage with it. But the growth-minded students, or the not yet students, they believe that abilities can be developed. They engage deeply. Their brain is on fire with the power of not yet. Fixed-minded individuals judge reality. They say it's impossible, but growth-minded individuals do not judge reality, but they describe reality, and they do not come to any conclusions. They envision what the goal is, what it looks like, and then they creatively think how they can get there. They turn a threat into a challenge and bring hope and possibility to any situation. And that's what we try to create on Yom Kippur, right? We try to create this not yet mindset, this growth-oriented mindset. You know, there's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim that where the Navi refers to archers who are, they say, lo yachti, the lashon of chet. Lo yachti means what? They don't miss. They don't miss their mark. So chet does not mean I sin necessarily, but you simply said, I missed my mark. I messed up. You know, that's the idea of the chet as being a not yet. Tshuva then becomes what we're trying to do in Yom Kippur, not merely about actions, but a mindset, okay? And when the brain activity starts flowing, we think of different new ways to deal with whatever challenge we're facing, then change does happen. It takes time. And sometimes when we struggle, when we think all is lost, we have new creative solutions. In fact, Rabbi Sacks has written that that's what happened when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, that tefillah replaced korbanos, the synagogue replaced the temple, obviously in importance, there was a synagogue at the time of the temple, repentance, tshuva replaced the sar lazazel, the home replaced the land and the state, every Jew took more ownership of his or her spiritual destiny. These things should have happened with a mikdash, with a mizbeach, with a korban, with sovereignty, but it didn't. It took destruction to harness these creative forces, and we are now better off for it. So in other words, the first strategy is just an attitude of, it's a challenge. And don't get so down on yourself. You know, when something doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, okay, it's a challenge. So it didn't work like this, so let me try like this. So the first is really having that attitude of the growth mindset. The second is strategy number one. Strategy number two is related to strategy number one, and that's called strength finders. You focus on what you're good at and don't focus on what you're bad at. Now, obviously, if you're something, you know, sometimes we focus, you commit certain sins. Obviously, you want to repent. But there's also value to getting wins and building momentum, getting spiritual wins and building momentum. There's this book written by Gallup executive Tom Rapp called Strength Finders 2.0, right? And basically, what they do is they have all these different questions. And you read this book, you take a test of 187 questions, and basically you learn that you're good, or you have certain character traits. And basically this strength finder, after you answer a whole bunch of questions, your top five traits are identified, along with advice on how to best put them to work. And test takers can take pride in virtue. Some are good at connectedness, some are good at responsibility, some are good at empathy, some are good at discipline. And basically, this is positive psychology and the science of strengths. Because sometimes we go to Yom Kippur and all we're focusing on is what? Focusing on, I'm so bad and I need to get rid of my bad habits. There's also a type of tshuva, which is what? You know, I'm good at this, so I want to be great at this. And by the way, when you do that, you'll feel better and you feel that I can win and I can do good, and that motivates you to be better. And in fact, Rav, this, I think that the strengths finder approach of focusing on what you're good at and improving on that, that is, you're not trying to radically recreate who you are. What you're doing is you're trying to, in a sense, return to yourself. Rav Kook, this is what he writes in Orot HaKodesh, in Perek Gimel, Simon number, I think it's Tzadi Zion, he says, I'll just translate it, this. He says, the sin of Adam, which according to the Gemara took place in Rosh Hashanah, was that he became estranged from himself, that he yielded to the snake's opinion and lost himself. He failed to answer a clear response to the question of Ayeka because he didn't recognize his own soul, because the real sense of self was lost from him. Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem, the breath of our nostrils, the anointed of God, does not come from an external source. It is the breath of our nostrils. In other words, it comes from within. We seek ourselves, we seek, and we will find. So in other words, we need to focus what we're good at. If whether it's chesed or Torah or mitzvah, and see, for me personally, so like my first go-round, you know, when I did the Daf Yomi, so okay, I learned it with someone, and I knew a little bit, and so this time around, so a bunch of people asked to learn with me. And by the way, the reason why I'm learning with a group of people is not simply because I'm the rabbi and they asked me, they're members of the shul, but it's more than that, actually. I feel that because I have to learn with them, so I have to know it better and I have to prepare. So in other words, I took something that I was interested in and I tried to excel at that. So what I'm saying is a second strategy of tshuva, sort of like more than simply the growth mindset, but take something that you're good at, that you're proud of, and return to yourself. Say, this is who I am. I'm like a chesed guy, I don't know, whatever it is. I do homebound visits. So I'm going to do that to such a higher level next year. It's not only about staying away from the negative. It's about you know, making change on what you're already good at and just taking it to another level. I think that could be easier for some of us. Four more strategies. Strategy number three, make what you already do more meaningful. In a Sefer Ali Shur, Rav Volbi writes that the challenge for us is more than simply what he calls chovos evarim, you know, obligations of the limbs, doing mitzvos. But the real challenge is chovos halavavos, obligations of our heart, finding countless moments in our day when we feel connected to God, not just intellectually, but emotionally, where we sense with every fiber of our being that connection to Hashem. I think that, you know, my gosh, I have to do more mitzvos. I have to do more of this. I have to do more of that. The truth is, and we're so busy. We're so pressed in so many different directions, right? So maybe the answer is not necessarily to do more, but to do better. In other words, what you're already doing, right, do better. You're already going to have a Shabbos meal with your kids. So the question is, how do I make it the most amazing Shabbos meal with my kids ever? Right? You're going to have a regular, you know, I'm already reciting brachos. We all mumble brachos. But how can I make that the best bracha ever? In other words, instead of saying, oh my gosh, I have to do this, I don't have the time for it, think about what things you already do and try to make that better. You know, even when we interact with other people, you know, like, there's someone who I don't like, I have to interact with this fellow colleague. Don't really like him or her that much. And, you know, I'm not so nice to him or her. Can I work on being better? Again, you're not spending extra time doing something extra, but you're taking what you're already doing and creating a, you know, special moments in the day. It's about doing what you're already doing, but doing it better. And I think that it's about creating moments of transcendence, of insight, of connection. And again, it's not doing anything new. And maybe, this is a suggestion, before going to sleep every night, you can ask yourself, did I create a moment of transcendence, an insight of connection today? Did I do something that was like extra special today? Like think about, you know, I'm very bad at routines, but like, you know, instead of asking, you know, you ask your kid when he comes home or she comes home from school, how was school? Good. What'd you learn? Nothing. Right? So a more interesting question would be, tell me something that you're proud of that you did today. Right? You know, to get them talking and thinking about it. Right? But I say for us also, before we go to sleep, so tell me, was there a moment of transcendence where I felt so connected, where I felt so different? So, and to make that part of your routine, if every day you create these defining, excellent moments of transcendence of what you're already doing, just having more intention and being more mindful, then I think that could also have change. Okay. Strategy number four, okay? This is difficult, but work on our davening, okay? What you know, use the time of davening to develop Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shamayim. See, we have to understand something, that tefillah is an avodah shebelev. Tefillah is a service of the heart. It's a time where we actually dialogue with God. You think about all the other categories of things that we do to connect to God. So there's, what is it? There's Torah. That's intellectual. Some of us, you know, we like intellectual because, you know, we're modern Orthodox. We love intellect. We love rational thinking, right? So we're really into the Torah, right? So we think of beautiful ideas and we're inspired by those beautiful. That's wonderful, okay? And mitzvos is we demonstrate our subservience to God. We lead meaningful lives to observe some mitzvos. We act in an appropriate way, an ethical way. We feel good about ourselves. And also perhaps sometimes we do mitzvos we don't understand to show our subservience to Hashem. But tefillah is actually the one medium where we're actually dialoguing with God. We're actually having conversation. Obviously, it's hard because we can't literally hear God. But tefillah is about, more than any other connector, about a relationship. And I happen to think that the more time that we actually see, because if we don't spend time on tefillah, we don't spend time thinking about a relationship. Okay, I got to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Should I do it? Should I not do it? It's a little difficult. If you love someone, if you feel connected to someone, if you really feel connected to someone, you'll do anything for that person, hopefully, right? You do most things for that person. So I think if we feel, the more that we feel connected to Hashem, the more that we will, what? That we're going to do what he says and we're not going to do what he doesn't say we should do. So I happen to think that I think one of the challenges, I think, for our broader community is tefillah. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. We don't spend a lot of time, you know, thinking about it. But I think that the more that we actually take time, you know, when we are speaking to God, to really work on developing a relationship with Hashem, than just like with human relationships. If you're connected to someone, you'll do more for that person. We're already davening. We're already going to shul. We're already set aside time for davening. We actually don't mumble the words and we actually think about it. It's hard. You know, they talk about these, even famous Rosh Yeshiva said, yeah, if I had one good davening a year, it was great. So it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But I think that tefillah is something that people overlook for its importance in developing a relationship with Hashem. I think if we take that more seriously, then I think we feel connected, we'll appreciate God, and we'll want to do more for God. So that's goal number four, right? We start off with the growth mindset. We talked about strength finders, number two. Number three, we talked about making what we already do more meaningful. Number four, we talked about the importance of tefillah with relationships. So now we have two more. So number five, what I call SMART goals. We have this not just in the Jewish world, in the secular world as well, SMART goals, right? Where you have measurable objectives, where you visualize the outcome and you create accountability. Soloveitchik wrote an essay about kapara and tahara. I love that essay. I quote it a lot. What's kapara? Where on Yom Kippur, you simply don't want to get punished. What's tahara? Tahara involves transforming yourself. And how do you achieve tahara? So Soloveitchik said, it's not based on fear of punishment. But you know what he said? It's about a double baptism, of Soloveitchik writes. He says the baptism of water and fire. So what is that? So water, what he calls an analytical plunge into the sea of knowledge through self-contemplation and soul-searching. And what's fire? What's the baptism of fire? Breaking your own will. I think Yom Kippur is set up to achieve more than simple forgiveness. It's set up to achieve tahara, to change ourselves, to better ourselves. The whole structure of Yom Kippur, which is an intense day of prayer, of reflection, creates a beautiful opportunity for us to become different people. But first we realize that that's the goal. We don't simply want to be saved, but we actually want to change ourselves. But after we want to change ourselves, I think this is very important. The method is not through simple emotion, but through intellect. And I think a lot of people want to change. It's all emotional. Let's say I'm simply disgusted by my behavior. I hate the fact that I get angry all the time, or I don't daven or use foul language. Let's say I hate myself for this. Go to sleep at night, I said, I can't believe I'm doing this. So I want to use Yom Kippur to make me better. So this is tshuva motivated by the emotional experience of sin. So I'm gonna receive kapara, I won't be punished. And maybe I'm so disgusted I will change something, but the change will only be a surface change. If our tshuva is only based on emotion, then it becomes one emotion against another one. The emotion of disgust of our behavior versus the emotion of desire to sin again. So, you know, that may work, but that doesn't always work. There's another tshuva, though. That's tshuva, the tshuva me'ava, avas Hashem. So that's through understanding. The Rama holds, what's the mitzvah of avas Hashem? That's understanding. Through studying Hashem's Torah, through the intellect, using our intellect to connect with God. And that's where salvation explains is an analytical plunge to the sea of knowledge. Using our intellect means we understand we don't merely not want to be punished, but we want to change who we are. We want to be God's greatest ambassadors on earth. And we use our intellect for tshuva and also the method of tshuva by setting ourselves up for success. So first of all, you have to visualize. You have to visualize what success looks like. This is what's done, you know, in any organization. When people want to effectuate change in a company or organization, you first visualize what the future is going to look like. There's a story about the famous sculptor Michelangelo who was at work on this great statue of Moses. So someone observed him, was moved to remark how wonderful it is to watch a master at work. Here you take a mere slab of stone to make a Moses out of it. But Michelangelo turned to him and what he said, you're mistaken. What happens is that I see Moses inside that stone and I merely chip away the unnecessary parts of the stones so that you can see clearly what I saw in them before. You got to visualize the goal. Then you assess what obstacles are there to achieving a certain goal and then removing those obstacles. Say your goal is you want to daven Shacharis Benachas every morning without feeling rushed. So it's about making a plan, whether it's to wake up on time, not to get other responsibilities. In other words, not simply saying, I got to change, but it's really creating a list of objectives, an action plan, and reflecting on that plan periodically. The truth is, you know what the best way to do things. The best way to do things is to establish, to create accountability. I know people don't want to do that. But imagine if there was something that you felt that you really wanted to change, right? And then you would tell a friend or maybe your wife, and you would say, you know what, I really want to change this. This is my action plan. And we're going to reconvene in a month. And maybe she'll do the same. And we'll go out for dinner. We'll go for lunch. We'll reconvene in a month. And we'll see how the action plan looks like. You're much more motivated to change because you've created accountability. I know people don't want to do that because it's vulnerability and people are scared of vulnerability. But you're creating a sense of accountability. In other words, what I'm suggesting is many people come to Yom Kippur wanting to change and it's all emotional. But taking Rav Soloveitchik's take of Tahara, how to achieve that, it needs to be not just understanding a need to change, but it needs to be a smart way, like SMART goals. No, it's the way that we accomplish things in our professional lives. That's the way we change, you know, in our spiritual lives. And once we do that, once we make an action plan, once we visualize what the future looks like, we create an action plan, we create accountability, then we can have the salvific rites, the baptism of fire, then we can break our will, conquer our desires, and engage in this act of transcendence and live a life where the mind rules over the body. So that's the fifth strategy, right? Number one, it's number one again. Growth mindset. Number two, we have StrengthsFinder. Number three, we have, I forget my now. Number three is make what you do already meaningful. Don't have to do anything new. Be more mindful. Number four, tefillah, build the connection. Number five, smart goals. Visualize the future. Create a real action plan, not just in your head. Write it down. And even better, if you can, tell someone and make yourself vulnerable. and reflect every once in a while on it. I'm telling you, you're going to feel more that you have to do it once it's written down. And number six is the effort must be excellent. Okay, if you fail, the goal is the effort must be excellent. Rav Lichtenstein wrote an article I spoke about a few years ago where he distinguished between tshuva for the mediocre and mediocre tshuva. And the way he goes about distinguishing between these two types of tshuva is analyzing a Torah text. Torah says, lo bashamayim hi. So the Rabban says, right, that's not too far away from us. What is lo bashamayim hi? The Ramban says this mitzvah is referring to tshuva. A tshuva is lo bashamayim hi. It's not so difficult. It's close to you. It's within your reach. You'll be able to achieve. You'll be able to manage. Someone who is not such a righteous person may tend to give up and say he can't achieve. Torah says, don't worry, it's lo bashamayim hi. It's not so difficult. However, Chazal read these psukim in a different way. Chazal say it may not be the literal interpretation of the pasuk. Chazal say it tells us that lo bashamayim hi, but even if it was bashamayim, you still have to go after it. So Rav Lichtenstein was of the opinion that actually the Ramban's opinion could be right and Chazal's opinion could be right. That perhaps we can reconcile both opinions. Why? Because on the one hand, the basic level of tshuva, which is satisfactory, is lo bashamayim hi. There's a basic level which is lo bashamayim hi. At the same time, your effort must be excellent. In other words, the result can be okay. Lo bashamayim hi. To achieve Torah observance on some basic level, the result, you know, that's not so hard. But your efforts must be excellent. In other words, Rav Lichtenstein writes, the effort must be extraordinary, even if the results are not. That's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects. And why is this so? Because Yom Nerayim are not only about today and tomorrow, or the coming week. Yom Nerayim are times to think about what the meaning of tshuva is. Now, it's not only about doing tshuva during this time. It's a time of year where we think about the concept of tshuva. When the Rambam writes his Hilchos Tshuva, so the first part of Halachos deals with specific averos, and in the context of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's about specific sins. But there's a broader goal. That's the second half of Hilchos Tshuva. That all year long, second half of Hilchos Tshuva, and the Rambam doesn't only talk about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, talks about all year long. That all year long we should constantly strive to do tshuva. What he calls midarchei tshuva. We spend this time now, Ding the Seres Mei Tshuva, engaged in trying to repent for specific sins and to focus on the concept of tshuva. And to convince us that tshuva is possible, because we're working really hard and we achieve some successes now, so we think it is possible. Really, all year long, we're engaged in darchei tshuva, the path of tshuva, and we become a baal tshuva, someone who's constantly striving to repent. Again, the higher level of tshuva is always working all year long to transform our midos, transform our personality, to become baalei tshuva, to be people who strive for tshuva, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi'ava. And Rav Soloveitchik said, it's not easy, it's difficult, but Hashem created us imperfect. Hashem created us that we sin. He knows we're going to sin, yet He still loves us. And I like the famous story that said a few times, every evening before he went to sleep, it was the custom of Levi of Yitzchak of Berdichev to take a cheshbon nefesh. He examined his thoughts and deeds. If he found a blemish of the previous day, if he found a blemish in them, he would say to himself, Levi Yitzchak will not do that again. Then he would chide himself, Levi Yitzchak, you said that yesterday. Then he would reply, yesterday, Levi Yitzchak did not speak the truth. Today he speaks the truth. If every morning when we wake up, despite what happened yesterday, the day before that, or the day before that, we commit ourselves to live a life of being a baal tshuva each and every day, and we commit ourselves that even if the results are mediocre, the efforts will be superhuman. And every day, and that's really what our goal is. So I think that these are, I think, six things. It was good for me to do a little research myself, to read about things that I've taught before, learned about before. I think these are six things that I think are doable. Again, we come back every year, we're frustrated. Again, first of all, we don't know that we're not better than we were last year. You know, little changes, we sometimes don't see them. Change happens, you know, over time. But I think that these are six things which are not so difficult. And maybe a few of these issues, a few of these points, a few of these strategies resonate with some of you. Again, the first idea is we all just a total attitude. Okay, I messed up, but I'm gonna try again. It's a challenge. It's exciting. You know, I'm a human being. I make mistakes. It's cool. So So this didn't work out for me, but how can I work out over here? And always, so then your brain is constantly working. You have that growth mindset, okay? Then you're returning to yourself, the strengths finder. Look for what you're good at. So next year you can say, I was good at this. I was even better at this next year. Number three, make what you do already more meaningful. Number four, work on your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number five, have a real action plan with SMART goals. Visualize the future. Create a sense of accountability. And number six, at the end of the day, even if you fail, it's okay. At the end of the day, as long as you're always really making an effort, that's superhuman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from you. He knows we sin. He knows we make mistakes. And that's our goal, just to strive. Know that you put forth a good fourth effort. We're going to fail, and we keep on bouncing back. So these are some strategies. Hopefully some of these resonate with you.